One. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Grassroots Army Podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Garrett Soldano, and I'd just like to say good morning, my fellow Michiganders. Good morning, my fellow Americans. And obviously, you've been following me over the past week. You've been seeing this beautiful face around, not mine. I'm talking about Joe Wife from Get Life Coaching. We got into kind of what his past and his history was last week, but now it's time to get in the nit and gritty, and I'm very proud of everyone out there who messaged me, who texted me. You guys gave me a lot of questions to talk about Joe, and I think it's really important, too, that we kind of handle these questions because I really believe, and Joe will talk about this, too, that, man, we're ever since the pandemic, it's just we are in a mental health crisis. You know, I've seen it when I was running for governor talking to folks. I've watched people's relationships struggle. People go to alcohol and drugs to fill in those voids. And now it's just kind of like a perfect storm. We have the economy. We have inflation. We have interest rates. You know, it just goes on and on. And so people are just really trying to get their head above water, Joe. And have you seen this kind of like with what you've been doing with coaching folks?
Yeah. So, you know, for me, everything's about the mechanics, right? And the mechanics is we have been living in a great period of high uncertainty, right? COVID, the pandemic, regardless of what side you were on, right? Pro-vax, anti-vax, a lot of uncertainty, right? And if you study human dynamics, we do not do well over prolonged periods of a lot of uncertainty where we feel a lot of control being on us or we don't have control. And that's where I'm really starting to see it, because when we feel out of control, we're going to find a way to reestablish that balance, right? Counterbalancing that. And that's where we go, well, I can't control this. I can't control that. I can't control this. I feel so overwhelmed. But hey, I can control my food, my alcohol, my porn, right? That's easy. It's instant gratification. Social media, the scroll, right? It's all those things that we do to counterbalance. Some of it's not bad in some contexts. The problem is we're not solving the problem. We're just band-aiding in our own way.
Do you think that's one of the problems? I mean, not only the adults, obviously, but the kids. The kids are just the expectations of kids. And I think it varies, obviously, with generations and stuff like that. I think the younger generation that are coming up are wired a little bit differently than kind of like the millennial generation. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And I think... Look, I'm a little old school. You know, my parents, before my dad passed away, they were months away from 58 years of really good marriage, right? And yeah, I do see the children are lost. But I think one of the main reasons why they're lost is because mom and dad, or mom or dad, are now all of a sudden they're struggling and, you know, they're not offering the parenting, the guiding, they're giving the counter example, right? I think it starts with that family unit of mom, dad, or whoever's there.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right.
So, several weeks ago, I had a gentleman named Clay Clark on. And, you know, what I like to talk about and ask these people who are very successful is like, what do you do every day, right? And his thing, the three rituals that he does, he goes to bed every night at 9 p.m. no matter what. He's up at 3:30 a.m. He plans out his day, and then his kind of saying was I will follow up until the other person throws up.
Yeah.
So he was constantly persistent in what he does every single day. Those are his rituals. Joe, what do you do every day? Like, what are your success rituals?
Well, I think it's two parts. One is, you know, how you wake up with that attitude, right? Is it like, is a day going to attack you or you're going to attack your day? And some days it feels like you're so beat up, but you got to go into that mindset, right? So things I do, I write my goals every day, my top beliefs every day, twice a day, actually, morning and night, okay? You know, I have my rituals of how I get myself ready to do a session, to do a call, to do whatever I need to do, right? For me, it's a little bit more about the valuing of managing your emotional state. How do you coach yourself? Even my clients, the main thing I do is teach them how to not need me, right? How to be independent, become a better coach in their own lives, simply because I'm not there and I don't want to teach. I don't want someone to be dependent on me. You got to be independent, right? So it's really about self-coaching. And people think like, oh, yeah, okay. They have no idea the level of how people do it. Like, I am coaching myself sometimes throughout the whole freaking day. I go through something in my life. I'm down here in my war room. I change everything around me to re-inspire me. I am constantly reading, putting signs up, writing things in my journal book. I journal every day, right? It's things like that to sort out what is my truth and what is BS, right? So I go at it a little bit different. I'm always managing my state, which really means is the state I'm in really the emotional state I need to be in to achieve my outcome. Keep elevating your emotional state. Some people do it naturally. Some people got to work them through the mechanics. I got to work myself through mechanics. If I stop doing what I'm doing, I start veering off into weeds and old behaviors. Doesn't end well.
And go into that a little bit more detail for those who are out there who are not familiar with this state that you're talking about, this emotional state on what they have to do. Because a lot of people, like, they come in and they'll say, well, I'm energetic. And you're like, no, you're not. Like, there's no way in hell you're energetic. Like, you got to put yourself out there. So describe to the audience, like, that state. What does that entail?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fundamentally what we've been taught as children is wrong. Right? Like, we can't control how we feel. We can't control what we think. And look, I'm not against people who take medication. I'm not getting into that. Right? But like, it's just so easy to relinquish that responsibility because of this, by taking this or this or that. Right? We got to learn how to manage our state, because the four things in life that we can control is what we think, what we say, what we feel, and what we do. What would I say? I can control. What I think, I can control. What I feel, I can control, right? What I think, say, feel, and do. Now, you go through a difficult situation. You feel your back against the wall. It's hard to feel I can control how I feel. But easy or hard, it's our choice. We get to choose how we feel. It might be so difficult to go from grief to gratitude. But just because it's hard or feels impossible doesn't mean we can't do it. So we got to learn how to manage our state, how to put ourselves in a better state. Because look, I can react. You can react. No one's above reacting. But does it serve us? Does it get us closer to what we want? The answer is no, because we get so much of our limiting beliefs that keeps us trapped. What we can't do, I can't control my emotions. I'm just this, I'm powerless. That's the big thing. If you look at the one thing, Garrett, that really, the one emotional state that triggers people like nothing else is when we feel powerless in something that we want, desire, or we feel we need. It puts us in victim land. You may not feel like a victim. You might not be talking like, oh, Garrett, my world sucks. It's this person's fault. It's my mom's fault. No, but if you feel powerless, that is not being in power. That's disempowered, which is being in scarcity and fear and learning how to navigate yourself. You know, whether we're talking about the Super Bowl, right? Patrick Mahomes, whether you like him or not, or Chief fans or not, his ability to keep raising it is so Jordan-esque, right? Always, you think you got me? I'm going higher.
Yep.
Right? That's a quality. We might not be great at Patrick Mahomes doing that at football, but that's a quality you can learn. I can learn. Anyone who's watching you and I right now can learn how to do that better in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think really there's so many people with so many plugs in the outlet right now, and everybody's always reactionary. You know, if we would just take that split second to think, I had an incident this past weekend, to be truthful, like, It was a road rage incident on me. This person wanted to cut me off, didn't have her blinker on, and I beeped the horn like, hey, you're going to sideswipe me. She followed me in the gas station, and she mother effed me and called me everything, and she's the size of my leg. And I'm thinking, is this woman nuts? Like, I'm a big guy. Like, you don't know me. You know, like, and she would not leave it alone. She came up, and of course, I didn't handle the situation, I feel, in a good way, because I went right back at her with force. I'm like, you flip me off. You cut me off. And I'm like thinking afterwards, after that conversation, because I said some things I probably shouldn't have. I'm on my way home. I was like, my goodness gracious, I pride myself on being at this level. I could have handled that a whole hell of a lot better. And I was disappointed in myself. I truly was, because I could have just switched that situation around, made that person feel a little better about themselves, you know, go on and say, hey, I know you didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. Right. You do those things, then it's great. But I left a negative imprint on that person, and I really pride myself on not doing that to folks. But I really feel that's why, I mean, I'm seeing it all around in the people I know there in my life. The relationships are all, they're in turmoil right now. I have people like breaking up and divorcing and doing really just not good things. And I just feel that society is like on that edge, right? They're just, they have so much hitting them at so many times. It's like everybody just needs to unplug, take a breath, and just be happy.
Yeah, because we're in scarcity all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And scarcity, the mechanics of scarcity is we believe something is happening to us, right? And once we feel something is happening to us, we feel powerless, right? That's what we do. We got to get defensive. You know, there's a great, I'm sure you read Seven Habits.
Oh, yeah.
Hot Effect, right? Stephen Covey, the book I wish I wrote, right? It's that good of a book. And Stephen talks about this, and this has impacted me because, look, you throw passion, some male energy, some drive, a little ego, which we all carry in order to be successful. It's easy to be like to be at that reactionary. And Covey said, to make a long story short, he was really tired, subway in New York. Some guy sits next to him. He has two kids, and they're running up and down the aisle, right? And Covey's like looking at the guy next to him and just like totally zoned out. Like, can you control your kids, right? And the guy was just like not paying attention to him. And then finally Covey turns to him and says, excuse me, sir, no respect, but can you please handle your children, right? I've had people on this train has a long day. And the guy snapped out of it and apologized, like, I'm so sorry. We're just a little bit distraught. We just came back from the hospital and they lost their mom and they don't really understand what to do. And I don't know what to do. I'll do better. I'm sorry. And you can imagine he felt this small, Stephen Covey, right? It's seeking about understanding because at the end of the day, it comes back to ourselves. That's our strongest angle to motivate ourselves. Well, I want to be a better person. It's really freaking good. But what's even better is what you feel, the pain that you just described. Garrett violated one of his high standards.
Yep.
Right. One of your standards is, regardless, I'm making this up, but something to effect, regardless of how someone treats me, I'm always going to be authentic and be who I am. Right. And we get caught down to that. We get triggered, just like Stephen Covey did. But you never understand the day that person has. So when someone does it to me, I really try to manage my state saying maybe that person's having a worse day. Maybe they need a little empathy. Maybe they don't need to be an asshole to them because when I am, I feel worse. See, that's why we do this, right? And yeah, it's better for other people, but it's all about our own standards, right? That makes some sense?
Yeah, 100% it does.
Yeah.
And you hit on too, like your goals. And I'm a goal guy. I love goals. Yeah. And somebody actually submitted this question. They want to know the importance of goal setting and how to set effective goals that align. And this, I like this because they said how to set effective goals that align with one's values. And I was like, that sounds like a Joe White comment.
Well, because we do a whole seminar that would literally go design your life that we start off with your vision and your values. Then we change your values. We change the definition, the rules of how they work. Standards, and then at the very end, we set our goals, right? Because we do want that alignment. Because the less alignment we have, the more non-aerodynamic, less efficient we'll be, right? So, the best way to do that is get clear on what you want, what your values, and set your goals to that, right? Now, for me, there's lots of different ways. You can do SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely. Most of that stuff is BS, right? Because we've been conditioned to set average goals, goals that we can achieve, right? But think about this. I'd rather set big-ass goals, right? Now, here's the key. If you set big-ass goals, you just can't say, I'm going to make $10 million this year. Great. How much money did you make last year? $30,000. What's your plan, right? The dots have to somewhat connect, right? But the math is simple, right? We are so used to setting our sights on what we think we can get versus what we deserve. What we think we can get versus what we deserve. So I look at it this way. If you and I set a goal, right? Garrett sets a goal for $100,000 in revenue in one area. I say $50,000, right? I go lower, right? I go more conservative. I take that BS mentality. I'm just going to do baby steps and this and that. At the end of the year, I hit 100% of my goal. Garrett's goal of 100,000, he only did 70%. I beat you. I'm 100, you're at 70. No, you failed your goal by 30%, but instead of having 500,000, you have 700,000.
Yeah.
You follow that? Like, yeah, immediately. Like, you have 100,000. I mean, you have 100. Yep. You have 70,000. You have. I got 50,000. Plus, you got more tools and resources, inroads, connections to double that even next year. See, we're too afraid of failing. I don't give a shit if I fail my goals. Goals are just mile markers. Goals just keep me interested. Goals is helps me grow emotional muscles. I don't care about my goals. I care about my summit, that place that supersedes it, the quality of life, because you can achieve every goal you want and be freaking miserable. Elvis Presley, Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin, that list will go on and on and on. So it's about being here. So we don't want goals to achieve goals. We want goals to give us a quality of life with family, with friends, with impact. Social, political, spiritual, whatever you choose. So we can't be scared of failing. I had a client once, and they're like, I'm not succeeding fast enough. I said, you want to know why? You're why? I'm not winning enough? I go, no, you're not losing enough. Failure, as much as we hate it, is the precursor to great success.
I love that.
So yeah. We got to set goals that employs those mechanisms to get us where we want to go, not just make us feel better or grow incrementally, because incremental growth sucks. We want revolutionary growth. We want big changes in our lives because, again, we talked about last time, to slow growth comes with the currency of time. That's what the cost is.
Absolutely. And to go into in two things, like I always say, like it's better to throw a rock at the moon and hit the eagle and throw a rock at the eagle and hit the ground. Dream big, right? And people shouldn't be afraid of failing. Failing is movement forward, fall down seven, get up eight kind of mentality. So here's the thing that people struggle. I've struggled with this in the past, and somebody submitted this and they said, how do you differentiate between, you know, constructive discomfort? Because we always say, you know, you have to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations, right? So how do you differentiate between constructive discomfort that fosters that healthy growth and unhealthy stress and burnout? How do you walk that fine line between those two, Joe?
Well, I think there's a difference. They're not the same, right? Like the quality of one's life is in direct proportion with the amount of uncertainty one can comfortably live with. I'll say that again. The quality of anyone's life is easily seen by the amount of uncertainty you can comfortably live with. Comfortably means where you're not going into the weeds. You're not reacting. Okay. So like I have the mindset, I don't always like the uncomfortableness, but I have to learn to embrace it because we don't grow through certainty. We don't grow through what we know. That just gives us more certainty. The only way we grow is to step outside of the comfort zone. Now, if you just step a little bit out of the comfort zone, your life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. Bull crap, right? Your life is really about 10 miles outside your comfort zone, right? I don't want it to begin. I want to live. I'm 57 years old. I want to live it. I want to begin it. I'm way too old for that race. Now, burnout, right? Burnout is a different pattern. They're not exactly the same. Feeling overwhelmed is an emotional state that we get into when we feel there's too many things in the air and we don't have a strategy. We don't have our value system. We don't know what's number one and number two. In other words, we're thinking we have five number ones and we're Lucy for our older audience. We're Lucy and Vivian at the chocolate factory. You know what I'm talking about. And we're shoving them in. That's what it feels like. Right. So it's a different strategy for overwhelm. Burnout comes when you are working and you're not getting fulfilled. I have never seen, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes, right? Played more Super Bowls in the last 5 years than any other player, right? More pressure on him. Does he feel he's burning out? No, because he's doing what we feel is fulfilling. It's when our needs aren't getting met that it feels overwhelmed, or we believe the work doesn't produce the result. So yeah, there are some actual physical things in overwhelm, but it's also mindset too, that of how we look at it, which influences how we engage with it.
That's beautiful. Like it gets me all fired up because burnout, that is. And if I reflect back in my own life, the reason I was burning out because I wasn't getting that fulfillment. Right.
Right.
It wasn't the goal that I was reaching. I just was not reaching my fullest potential. And it wasn't allowing me to fill that void with what I wanted in life.
Right. And when you're giving it what you think is your best and you're not getting the result that you want, our first thing that, especially achievers like you and I, right? People who are trying to move their life forward. What we usually do, what usually works, is we double down.
Yep.
Say, I'm doing this and I don't feel fulfilled. It ain't working. I'm going to double down. Well, doubling down on something that's not working is going to put law of diminished returns in. So now we're giving more effort, even less results. Now that's frustrating us even more. So it's really a mechanical approach of how we deal with overwhelm. I'll say this. I don't even use the word overwhelm. Because if I ask your viewers, you, to close your eyes for a second as you're driving and picture the word overwhelm, it's usually like not a good picture. So if you're making that picture, that reference file, that's going to be determining how you respond. For me, I think of overwhelm. I'm in the ocean trying to save my ass and a wave hits me. And then I get to the top, another wave. That doesn't make anything empowering. I got to change that. Right. If it doesn't serve you, change it. That's the best thing I can share with your audience today. If you have a belief, if you have an action, if you have anything, if it's not serving, you got to tack. You have to change it. Not saying the core of it's bad, but the strategy that sits on top of it. Absolutely. We got to change it. If it ain't working, change it. If you don't believe your confidence, stop saying, I'm not confident. I don't believe in myself. You're just perpetuating it. You got to change it.
And just to let everyone know, I do have in the description not only Joe's website, but also the free consultation link that if you feel like you're stuck in life right now, that you feel like you're just not getting ahead, you're feeling overwhelmed, you just want to have a conversation, he's doing a free consult out there for anyone that is interested. That is in the description of the link. All you have to do is click on it, give him the information, and then Joe will seek you out and set up that consultation. And I want to hit on something you just said. You know, what advice do you have with the folks right now that, you know, that are, they want to create that positive change in life, right? But they're feeling overwhelmed or they're feeling stuck. You know, what's that first step, Joe? Besides calling you for that consult, what's the second step?
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Realizing you're worth it and you believe in yourself. And that's hard to admit that you struggle with it, but we all do. You know, I was at a conference and Robert, what's the gentleman's last name from, he's from Canada and he's on Shark Tank. You know what I'm talking about? Herrer or something like that. He's one of the main people on Shark Tank.
Okay.
Great guy. Heard him speak for an hour. Like, what a great soul. Immigrant from this country, built up. He's a billionaire, gives money back. Like, really just a good soul. They asked him this final question. Now, this is a guy that started from nothing and, you know, has family, has career, has faith, has contribution. Like, okay, seems like a really, really good life. They asked him, they said, Robert, what is the one thing you wish was different when you were younger? You know what he said, I wish I believed in myself sooner.
Ooh.
Just take the simplicity and the power. This is a guy that has... who looks, again, we don't know, but from outside in, like, okay, he has the success of finances and family and the other thing. So he didn't lose perspective for one to get the other. And here he is at the top of his life saying, I should have believed in myself. Like, how freaking simple is that?
So right? Simple.
Why don't we all just commit today to believing in ourselves even more? If you do, let's level it up. If you don't, let's figure out where to begin, because I can't think of a better tool for ourselves, for our children. We talked about children earlier. It comes from they don't believe in themselves. They don't value themselves. So we do other things. I think that's a first place. We got to start opening ourselves up to learn how to accept that we haven't believed in ourselves, or figure out, or if you're out there saying, I do, then what's that next gap for you to jump? That's where it starts, Garrett.
Yeah, and people will procrastinate, right? They'll hear this, they'll think about it, but then they don't take that step, that one step that could literally change your life. It's just that procrastination. Where do you think procrastination even comes from?
Well, I don't think procrastination is a pattern. Procrastination is a byproduct of a pattern. I hear a lot of coaches like, I help people with procrastination. I'm like, I help them with the source. It's kind of like modern medicine. Most of today's medicine deals with symptoms, right? Not the source. Western medicine is symptom-based, right? And I think procrastination is like a symptom, not the source. Because if you're procrastinating, anytime someone is hesitating, saying, Garrett, I'm going to do this, but don't do it. Or someone's avoiding the obvious solution, right? Even if it's two couples out there who want to get back together but scared to talk about it, it's always the same thing, right? The reason why people don't is because they don't believe they're going to get the result that they want, right? And the reason why they don't do that is because they associate pain. Wherever someone avoids, right? We know that's where the pain is. If I'm coaching Garrett, I'm saying Garrett said he wants to do X, Y, and Z, but he's not doing it. We know he associates some pain to leaving where he's at, the comfort to go forward, the pain of the process of taking the action, of getting it. Oh, the consequences of getting it. People might not love you as much, or they might judge you different, or the pain of getting it and then losing it. Holy shit, I am a failure. I got it and lost it. Or the pain of never getting. See, there's always pain that is keeping us from getting what we want. Pain, discomfort, hesitation, right? That is the real root of it. Does that make sense? Right?
Yes. Go ahead. Again,
Now, I was just going to say, so we avoid that pain. So procrastination is created because we're avoiding a pain, right, that we have to deal with. The only way to overcome that is to take action or find a different strategy one way or the other.
Yeah, it's almost like when those folks, you know, start the New Year's resolution, they're in the gym for 4 weeks and then they're done. Like, they're gone until next year.
But there's no commitment.
Yeah.
See, people want, there's an old speaker phrase that says, people pay for your advance, pay for your success, pay for your results up front. Right? So when I go to an event, I always do like the pay up front. Right? I just pay, you know, I don't like payment plans on that stuff. Pay for it up front because it changes your psychological an emotional relationship to it. Okay. So what happens is we don't commit to it. We don't engage to it and we don't do anything with it. We have to learn how to manipulate the pain in our head because there's three pains. There's a pain of where I'm at, the pain of not changing. Everyone knows that one. If I keep staying here, blah, blah, blah. That's it, the first pain. And there's people know the pleasure of getting what they want, right? We know that one. It's the third one that people miss, that third angle. And that is, what is the pain of me not getting what I want? What's the pain of me not living my best life? See, so we got to learn how to work those levers. Great athletes know how to work those levers. So Michael Jordan, I think it was his fourth championship. He was playing the opening round, first game, and some young kid on the other team scores 40-some points on Jordan, keeping him to like 12, 13, 14. At the end of the game, that one player walked up, kind of pat Michael on the back, on the butt, right? Michael stormed into, right, the locker room. He was pissed because he told me, nice game, Michael. Like, who is he, right? All Michael's doing is manufacturing pain, right, to motivate him to do this, to drive him forward. The next game, Jordan goes off for 40-some, holds a guy at like 12. Years later, they ask Jordan, we got to know, what did he really say to you? You know what Jordan said? He said nothing to me. Nothing. He just pat me on the ass. He needed that motivation. He needed some pain in that moment. And there wasn't anyone calling him or walking off the court or saying shit. So if it's not there, you got to manufacture it. Muhammad Ali did that. Michael Phelps did that. Greats of the greats. Tom Brady did that. The greats of the greats know how to manufacture pain without making them feel like piece of shit or unworthy and use it, right, to keep ratcheting them up to that next level. Tom Brady did it almost better than anybody.
This is a good one. You know, how important is gratitude?
Well, gratitude mechanically is one of the most unique emotions in the world. Because if you look at abundance and scarcity, every negative emotion, right, or positive, I mean, every positive emotion has a positive version and a negative version. So you can love someone unconditionally, or you can love someone through obligation, right? And you can have faith. You can have great faith, or you can have faith that just follows whatever, you know, shepherd that is speaking in the moment, right? So they always have a healthy and unhealthy version. Gratitude is the only emotion, Garrett, that there's no negative scarcity counterpart. Because the mechanics of gratitude is simple. Gratitude is focusing on what you have. That's what gratitude is. Not focusing on what you don't have, but focusing on what you have, i.e. that puts you right back into abundance. Because scarcity is focusing on what you don't have. People who are depressed all the freaking time consistently focus on what they don't have. Right? So it's instantly, no matter how crappy your life is, gratitude instantly puts you back in abundance. So if you're lost, if you're angry, find a way to get into abundance. Is it always easy? No. But does it always work? Yes, if you can get there. So gratitude is simplest. It's the best grounding emotion. It's the best tool to get you out of fear, out of scarcity, into abundance. And it's real simple. Now, if you were doing a brainstorming session, right, with all your doctors and this and that, focusing on what, you know, what didn't we do last year, we can do better this year. You're not in gratitude. Now, you're not in a negative state, but you're focusing on what's not there, right? Even though it's healthy, it ain't gratitude. So that's why gratitude is so, so powerful.
I love it because what you just said, obviously, you know, my history with having a poverty stricken mindset and everything. And one of the affirmations that I would get and say, and I would scream all throughout the day, thousands of times a day, is I'm so happy and grateful now that money comes to me, increased quantities from multiple sources on a continued basis. And I used to say that like all the time, just trying to rewire my brain. And I remember after the first week of saying that, I looked down during my morning walk and I saw a dime. And I said, holy shit, it works. Right? Now, I could have had a negative response and says, where's the Benjamin, baby? Where's the money? Right? So same situation, but I was reinforcing that affirmation like, it works. Holy cow, I attracted this dime, right?
I remember once I got because my version of that, one of the things I write every day, twice a day, I have a sign on my steps coming down to my war room. Money flows to me in effortless abundance.
That's good.
Right? Money flew, right? So one day I got a rebate check from like AT&T for $1.36, right? And I'm like, yes, money is flowing to me.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, because if you don't do that, right? Here's what people think, Garrett. People think, oh, you're just being fake. No, because for you to feel angry because of this, or you don't find this, or not grateful about that, that's a learned behavior. Everything we do is a pattern. All patterns are learned, which means they can be unlearned, and all patterns meet a set of emotional needs. So right there, we have that ability. We must take that ability, because if you have a lousy mindset, I hate breaking it to you, it's not just because of mom and dad or anything else. If you are in a scarcity mindset, you have trained yourself to go there by what you say and how often you say it. So people say, well, this is phony. Well, it's only phony because it feels different because it's new, right? Because you learned it over decades, this poverty mentality. You learned it. It was taught to you by parents and society and this and that, because you have the ability to choose what you want to choose to believe in.
I think you're right, because, you know, if you reflect back when we were growing up, obviously it's a whole heck of a lot different. Do you think the opposite is happening, especially with social media and TikToks and reels and what these kids are constantly watching? They're getting skewed on what success truly is. How to make that money. You got to earn it. It's not going to be given to you. Do you think the opposite is happening to these kids right now and the expectations? How do you dissect that out?
Well, I'm a big believer. Okay. Let me frame this first, that, like, you know, we're not going to blame video games for violence. Okay. Right. Because like if a kid goes from video games to violence, they're looking for anything to escalate. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's other factors. Where is the parents? Da, 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 da. Because just because there's one, there's not always the other, right? So I think when it comes to, like, us there, right? Like, even kids, but also us. Like, we are getting bombarded with messages, right? I don't want to get into who, what, when, where, why these messages are, right? But, like, even if you don't believe something, it starts to lower your threshold. It becomes normal. And we're getting stuff in TikTok in rapid, short bursts. And we think it's no big deal. Like, all of a sudden on my Twitter feed, I'm starting to see all these fights. Blacks versus whites and whites versus blacks. Like, where's that coming from? Like, oh, I don't subscribe to any of that, but I see it. I see it. And every, like, your Tony Robbins used to say, stand guard at the door of your mind. Oh, it's just social media. It's just scrolling. But it does. And the reason why I bring it up for adults, our brains become fully developed between 24 to 26, males and females, right? Like these kids don't even have full processing, and they're getting conditioned and conditioned and conditioned. And I'm not anti-social media, right? Yeah. I just think it has to be educated and understood and limited to kids and adults. Let's be honest, right? We're very childlike with it. So I think it's a little bit more of like the impact of how we are getting the stimulation, the rapidness of it, the repetitiveness of it. Whether you like it or don't like it, it's shaping our subconscious minds, and we're not aware of it. We think we're just getting more information we like, but it's not, right? And look, you can be on Twitter and follow the things that are important to you. I'm not saying that, but you got to understand that there are forces outside yourself, right? It could just be natural sources or groups that are doing that, are trying to influence the way you freaking think. And I don't want to be influenced by anybody, even by people I like, who I don't like. I don't want, just because so-and-so said this, I believe that. No, do I believe that? Like, I got to take that personal responsibility, access my ability to respond, and stand guard at the door of my mind. And if Garrett says something, I'm like, yeah, okay. But we got to put a gatekeeper there, especially in today's world, because it's so heightened and so repetitive.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what our parents would tell us. If you hang around with a bunch of punks, you're going to be a punk. If you're constantly watching garbage on social media, those are your so-called environment, and you're just getting programmed. And yeah, you're right. Like, it's interesting how these things will just show up on the feed, and you're like, I haven't talked about it. I haven't liked it. I haven't commented. And so I'm seeing all this violence and hateful stuff. And it's kind of like,
yeah, right. And again, I'm not getting into like the social media end of it, because I can't control all that. But I can control me, what I think, say, feel, and do. I can control how much I use social media. I can identify my triggers where I'm getting too deep into it. For me, I'll start writing responses to stupid people's posts, knowing I won't send them. If I'm doing that, I'm probably getting really into my red zone. I need to dial it back a little bit. I'm human. I get affected. I get triggered. But again, it's still, every time I get triggered, whether I write it or not, send it or not, that's still impacting me. Slow erosion. That's what we don't realize is happening now. There's so much slow erosion. Not everybody, it's all the long game. That's a slow erosion down. And look, again, what you believe you're entitled to, but just because you believed it in the past, we got to keep checking our sources, make sure it still fits for us. And if it does and you believe it, then I support that. But just because someone does this or you see that, no, I. This is the most sacred thing that we have, our brains, our thoughts, and what that does. You got to protect that. I think put that safe, that security guard, making sure things get through that you want to, not just carte blanche because it's painted in the colors that you like.
Absolutely. Joe, that was a fast 45 minutes. Holy cow. That was great, man. And folks, we're going to have him on one more time next Monday, where we're going to get through most of these other questions that I have written down that the viewers sent. We didn't have time to get through it today, but my goodness gracious, do we have tons of stuff to digest. Again, if you want to get that free consult with Joe, the link is in the description. Click on it. Trust me, I said this last week, you know, every single person that I ever sent to Joe that was struggling in life, that needs somebody, needed to be coached, just needed a different perspective on things, every single person I've sent to Joe, they have come back a different, wired, better person. And it's been fantastic to see, that's for sure. So Joe, again, man, we appreciate your time, brother.
Oh, I love you like a brother, not just, okay, brother, I really do, you know, and I love I love any time I get with you. And if we have a chance to do this and share our knowledge, our wisdom, our experience with others, your audience, and if people begin to take it and listen and, oh, maybe I'm not mess up. Maybe I'm just running crappy patterns where I can do this. You know, I think there's a stigmatism. We talk about mental health, like, oh, I need help. Something's wrong with me. Right. But I understand that. But really a sign of strength is reaching out. Again, we can look at the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes now, the Jordans. When they get more successful, they don't fire their coaches, their mind coaches, their stretching coaches, their food coaches. They don't. They add more. Tom Brady added more coaches, specialists to his team, the more success he got.
Yep.
You know, like, why do it on your own when you can have someone teach you how you can be better? Most of the times, I think we feel like we're in New York City, and most of us are like Bugatti sports car. We're meant to be 180 on open roads, but we're getting super excited because we get to drive our Bugattis 30 miles in the city. We're not meant to ride 30 miles in the city. We are incredible human beings. God made us spectacularly correct, right? And it's up to us to accept and understand and be a Bugatti and get on the open road and be free and go the speed and feel the power. Most people don't realize how powerful they really are. God made us that way. We got to connect to that and believe in that, or at least begin the process. Like, okay, let me call Joe and let me see if this jives with me.
Amen, brother. Well, see you next week. Same time, same place, brother.
All right, man. Love you. Thank you to your audience for watching. Click on the link. Go to getlifecoaching.com, whatever it takes.
You got it, man. God bless you. I love you too, brother.
Love you too, man. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, go to the link in the description. Check out his website. Check out what he has to offer. And hey, look, I said this time and time again. You know, you never know what small act that you may do. You may get this consult scheduled for you, for someone else. I don't know. And that conversation might change that person's life. It truly may. And like I said, I've sent many people to Joe, and every single person that has gone through his stuff, they come back just a different, wired, better person. And it's great to see you. That's why I vouch for Joe. That's why I want to bring him on and get his knowledge for all of you so we can continue to get Grassroots Army strong physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially. So we have a great, great lineup of speakers that are coming up over the next several months so all of you can get that edge in this beautiful cosmic journey that we call life. Until next time, folks, God bless you. God bless the state of Michigan, of course, and always God bless these United States. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.